right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice, coming to you from the International Space Station right above Earth. And for those watching on YouTube or Spotify, I am currently in a different room, so I got a little virtual background here. I'm having a little fun with it until I'm back in the normal office. But anyway, Tommy, excited for another episode talking about indie games. What do we got on the agenda today?
Listen, first, solve world hunger. That one's going to take a bit. We'll get there eventually, and then we might loop back to that one. No, we got a great episode. We are not solving world hunger, unfortunately. But it is episode 92. Shout out 1992, year I was born. Not to date myself a little bit, but that year sucks. we are reviewing a game called Tower Wizard, a nice little idle game made by the same developer that made Magic Archery, a game we reviewed a little bit ago as well. Barabob, it's on Steam, $2.99. Nice little bite-sized morsel for you this week. But is it good? We will tell you, absolutely. We're going to catch up. Get to some news, and then, of course, we're going to review the game, answer some questions, and then say goodbye. What's up? How's your week going? Obviously, you're a little bit displaced right now, but I know you did some painting.
Yeah, so we're getting some new floors in the nursery and in my office, so... We painted the nursery a few weeks ago, then finally got around to painting my office. I actually posted some pics in my Discord. I don't know if I posted in the Juiceheads Discord. I'm going to have to do that, but had some positive feedback. Some people getting the color wrong, saying it was green, definitely blue. I don't know, but you decide. And yeah, so just kind of displaced right now. I had to move my desk and my kind of complicated setup over to another room. So I'm kind of in this little storage room right now, really. But yeah, it's been good. It was good to get that done. Always nice to, you know, I keep looking in my office. I'm just like, man, it looks so good. I can't wait till the floors are in there. So yeah, it's always, you know, my office has been something that I've envisioned a certain way and I just have been too lazy to put it that way. So now it's like, all right, I'm getting a new floor, painting the walls. I got some shelves I still got to put up. I'm going to get some posters framed. We're going to make it look a little nicer than it was before. So hopefully for the next episode, you guys will see that in the background. What else has been going on? I went and returned a keg that we brought to our buddy Bags's bachelor party. And also stopped and had dinner and had some of the best chicken tenders of my life, actually, at a place called Baseline Social, which I know we've had before. And I was just in the mood for chicken tenders. And I was like, you know what? They say they're house made, hand breaded, all that sort of stuff. I was like, I'll try them. You know, they came out. Oh, my God. I mean, like, I consider myself probably like an aficionado of the chicken tender. I mean, I think a lot of people are. But I've had many, many of the tender, and these were just fantastic. They were just homemade, like honey mustard. It was just, it was hitting. So very good. And, yeah, then on Sunday, we had our doula come over, which is like a kind of like someone that helps, like, my wife through, like, the pregnancy when she's at the hospital kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Almost like a midwife kind of situation. So we went over like a birth plan and stuff. So it's all like new stuff for me, but figuring out all that and kind of what I have to do, you know, how I gotta pack my little go bag and all that sort of stuff. So it was a pretty busy weekend. And then, yeah, today just working in this little kind of storage room here. And yeah, just dealing with that. But it's been a productive past few days, I would say. But I am very much looking forward to this upcoming weekend because it's the 4th of July. I got an extended weekend. I'm looking forward to like chilling a little bit because it's just been pretty busy. But although we will be partying on the 4th, and then building a bunch of stuff for the nursery on the 5th. So hopefully on the 6th, I have some time to just chill. That's what I'm hoping for. But what about you, Tommy? How's everything going on your end? Anything exciting? Anything? Any chicken tender news on your side?
Not chicken tender necessarily. No, not chicken tender at all. But on Saturday, went to my buddy Gary's, a.k.a. Mr. Viz, if anybody's coming from the Flesh and Blood world. His 30th birthday, went down to Philly, did it at a really cool dive, you know, that has like a space upstairs with like foosball and pool table and stuff like that, that they kind of rented out for a couple hours. So went down, had a few beers, hung out, said, hey, happy birthday, ate some buffalo chicken dip, as one does. And then went, came back home, checked out a new-ish brewery by me that only has one beer and then like a bunch of other people's beer. That was interesting. That was in Pennsylvania, though. So I was a big Pennsylvania day on Saturday. But then Sunday, gotta say, I didn't even think to set out to do this, but it just kind of happened, right? I was going, not for the world record, but maybe a personal record of jalapeno, like, stuff consumed in one day.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. We wake up. We were going to go to some open houses and stuff like that. Just kind of see what the market's like, you know, get a feel for it. And then also, you know, listen, it's not great. I'll tell you that. But we're like, let's get a bagel first. Wake up, get a bagel. We go to this place. It's not super close, but it was on the way up to where we're going. It's kind of worth it. The bagels are pretty good. Goldberg's Bagels. They had a ton of places in North Jersey, but they have one down by us. I'm like, you know what? Normally I would get like a everything bagel with cream cheese, or like everything bagel with pork roll, egg, and cheese, yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, their jalapeno bagels look so good. I'll get a jalapeno bagel. And I look at their cream cheeses. They got a jalapeno cream cheese. Boom. Jalapeno bagel, jalapeno cream cheese. We are off to the races. Boom. Then we go up to a town called Highbridge, New Jersey. Really cool town. It's at the end of the New York line, all the way in West New Jersey. And they have a really cool coffee shop there called Scouts. So we stop there, right? Get like a little beverage. And, you know, Lady Fresh, she gets a lavender lemonade. I see they have a jalapeno lemonade.
God,
okay. I'm like, okay, I gotta have that. So I had that. Excellent. Yeah. So good. And, you know, later in the day when we were headed home, you know, I was going to cook dinner and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, you know, I bought jalapenos a couple of days ago. And I've been turned on to this thing that I've seen on TikTok and the internet of a Sauvignon Blanc, like a white wine with sliced jalapenos in it. Don't knock it till you try it. It's banging. So I went home, sliced up the jalapenos, threw in my Sauvignon Blanc, and I was like, that's probably not the most jalapenos I've had in a day, but it was a lot of jalapenos. So it was a big jalapeno sundae.
So. I think also it was creative ways to have the jalapenos. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, jalapeno cream cheese, fine. Jalapeno bagel.
Sure.
Not super common. And then obviously the lemonade, the wine. I mean, I also had a lemonade on Sunday, homemade lemonade.
Ooh.
At a farmer's market, but I didn't see jalapeno as an option there. They had a lot of different flavors, but how would you describe the lemonade with the jalapenos? Because lemon already is like, you know, it's tart. It's kind of hitting you. It's like an overpowering flavor. And I feel like jalapeno can be too, but was it more subtle?
So, you know, it was harmony, right? Like you had the sweet kind of tartness of the lemon balanced out by the very fresh spiciness, pepperiness of the jalapeno.
Wow.
It wasn't overpowering. You weren't like, I can't drink this. It was good, man. I was very happy with it. And it has a similar effect with the Sauvignon Blanc. It's all essentially different variations of the spicy margarita, right? So we're just having it in different ways. The lemonade being the non-alcoholic version, the Sauvignon Blanc being a white wine, white grape based base for the jalapeno to be delivered to your taste buds. So anyway, people have tuned out.
That's totally fine, because we've got another 25 minutes of jalapeno talk coming your way. Actually, I did have jalapenos on a pizza for dinner, a homemade pizza, which I feel is an underrated topping. Not enough people bring up the jalapeno, nice and chopped up. Anyway,
Wait. The jalapeno on a pizza. What is the other topping you're throwing on the pizza?
Well, this one just had jalapeno, if I had to put another one on there, I might like jalapeno and onion, just because it's peppers and onions, you know, but it's like a little kick to it. Do you have another suggestion in mind?
So when it's like, I've given up on not like sleeping well, right? Or like having good digestive health, it's pepperoni and jalapenos.
Oh, I mean, that's great. I've had that as well.
Yeah.
That definitely is Heartburn City. But it's good. It's good.
Back when I lived in a place without a good pizza shop that was open late, and I would have to order pizza, you know, in a pinch, I would go to Domino's, right? And I would get jalapenos and feta, right? Like that kind of like tangy cheese with the jalapeno. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But enough of that's the jalapeno segment, and it is
we're solving world hunger. That's what we're doing with jalapenos. Just keep talking about food. Let's do it.
I'm sorry to the hungry people out there. Jalapenos are pretty good. Maybe one day we'll grow enough for everybody, but we have some great news for everybody in our indie game news. First of all, it is a Discord that we have, Fresh Juice Discord. It's available for all to love and enjoy. It is in the show notes below. And please check it out. It's a good place to hang out. And then also, it is Steam Summer Sale until July 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific. What are some games you've been checking out in this Steam Summer Sale? I know that there's a big push. It's like, your library's full enough. You don't need to buy more games, but here at Fresh Juice, I don't think we believe in that.
Yeah, I know there's some listener questions around the summer sale, so I'm not going to get too into it, but I will say me and some friends, well, actually, I didn't pick this up technically, but Star Wars Battlefront 2 was on sale, the newer one from like 2017. Bunch of my buddies picked it up. It was like $4 on Steam. I already actually had it. I think I got it for free through Epic. So that's a good deal. We had a lot of fun playing that the other night. You know, one of those nights where you're just gaming with the bros, you know, you're just gaming. You don't care what's going on. You're just chilling. You got a beer. You're relaxing. It was a really good time. I haven't really seen a lot of amazing sales on games that I don't have already. There hasn't been any that's really jumped out to me where I'm like, I need to get this right now, but it's probably for the best because I do have a pretty big backlog. But I know Balatro's on sale. Make sure you pick that sucker up if you don't have it already. There's also like the classic Valve games. Like if you haven't played Portal 1 or Portal 2, I think they're like $2 right now on Steam. Plus Borderlands 2 is like $2. I know Borderlands 4 is coming out in September, and I know Borderlands 2 is like regarded as the best Borderlands from what I know, so pick that up. $2, you know, if you weren't able to get it, I think it was free a few weeks ago. I don't know. I mean, is there anything that's jumping out to you that you've picked up? I actually haven't picked up anything yet, just because I'm trying to catch up on some games still. I'm still playing Mario Kart a lot, so I haven't picked up anything. But there's always another, you know, Steam sale around the corner, so I'm not in a rush. But what about you, Tommy? You pick up anything yet?
Yeah, I picked up Mini Shoot Adventures and Dun Jungle so far. Dun Jungle's like a side-scrolling platformer, maybe like Metroidvania. And then Mini Shoot Adventures is like a kind of like a, not Galaga, but like a flying ship shooting game that's also mm-hmm. like a bullet hell, but also somehow I haven't played it yet, but I've everything I've read about the game is that it's also reminiscent of like classic top down Zelda games. So that one I'm excited to play. They both look to be pretty set up for the Steam Deck, so that's probably where I'll be playing them. But they have pretty good sales. They're not super expensive games to begin with, but I saw they were on sale on the wish list. I was like, boom, boom, get those suckers, and then we're good to go.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. That's another thing too, is like the Steam Deck makes a lot of things more tempting, mm-hmm. you know, where you're just like, maybe I'll just pick it up. You know, also another one that came to mind, because I was talking to our buddy Bags about it, is another Crab's Treasure is on sale. Really great Souls-like game. It's like as if Nintendo made a Souls-like. He's been waiting for that game to go on sale. Finally did. It's like $17, I think. I think it's normally like 30 or 40, something like that. So that's another great one that went on sale. So if you've been waiting on that, definitely... you know, check it out. I actually think a lot of the games we've reviewed have been on sale mm-hmm. From what I've seen. So make sure you're checking out, you know, the list of games we've reviewed and seeing what's on sale. And there you go.
There you go. There you go. Now, some other not so cool news. This is from an article from today on TechSpot. It seems that there are scammers that are stealing indie games and selling them on Steam. You know, basically the gist of this article is there's even the worst offenders, basically these kind of like ghost developers will just like start stealing games from other platforms and just start selling them on Steam until they get caught. A developer by the name of ME, seems to be one of the worst offenders. The unknown dev took around 70 game projects from independent sources such as itch.io and put them on Steam and tried to make some money from it. Me's list of Steam games mostly contains unknown amateurish content stolen from other people, though a few interesting titles are present as well. I guess this is not a uncommon problem, but it's pretty crazy.
Who did this?
Not me, but me.
you me, me. Wow, that is crazy. And honestly, this is the first I'm seeing something like this, but I'm sure this has happened before. It just seems like something that is probably hard to regulate this happening. I know there's been times before where there's been duplicate, store pages for games and you don't really know which one is like from the actual developer, but, yeah, this is, I mean, it's terrible. Obviously, I hope Valve kind of does something about this. It does say that they seem uninterested in actively going after me or the other scammers that try to abuse its service.
Who?
I'm going to go. hopefully they end up doing something about it because, it's one thing if this happens to like a AAA game, which is rare, but to do this to like indie games, especially ones that are like distributing on itch.io and then, you know, maybe are even unaware that someone did this with their game on Steam until it's too late. It's just, it's a really scummy move, for someone to do this. So I'm hoping there's some sort of regulation or some sort of punishment at least, that Valve can implement, but I don't know. Yeah, it's unfortunate that this would happen.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, that's the tough thing with things like itch.io, where things can be pretty under the radar and then, you know, just scooped up and just kind of thrown out there like that on Steam. So hopefully they can implement something. But yeah, saw that, thought it was worth mentioning, but it's a shame. But we do have a game to talk about today. Tower Wizard.
Tower.
By Barabob on Steam. Price tag $2.99. What is this game? You help a wizard build and upgrade a wizard tower in this incremental game. Use the tower to study magic, summon spirits, create buildings, and influence Not just you, not just me, the world. So, Tower Wizard is very similar to Magic Archery, which is another game we reviewed, where you kind of start out, you have one thing, you have this like big orb, you start messing around with it, you click in it, and you start building your tower. And there's different kinds of resources, whether it is straight up magic or knowledge or wood or people. And you kind of have to go through incrementally and just build it up. And yeah, this is pretty simple gameplay as far as incremental games go. If you've played one, you've played a lot of them, right? And this one is fun. I mean, I think this was a nice little experience. I like the prestige system that we've seen in other games like this, where once you get to a certain point, if you gain enough prestige points, you can restart, do the kind of meta progression to restart another run, and hopefully this time get to the point that you want to get to, which is just completing the game. It's not a long one, I would say that. Maybe an hour or two, I think you could probably beat this, depending on how much you want to do. It's best played idly, I would say. That's how I played it mostly, when just doing other stuff, coming back, doing the upkeep that I needed for the tower, figuring out what to buy, and then go do something else for a little bit, then come back again and do it. Not super engaging outside of that, I would say, but I think it's relatively linear no matter how you slice it, because you have to manage your resources in a way that you can get to the next tower, like buff, to get to the next level that will require more magic and more wood and more whatever, more knowledge. So it's all about how you kind of decide to manage those resources, right? Like, you can probably be super optimal and kind of speed run it, or you could kind of just do it however you want too, because that might help you in later buffs or upgrades in the game. So it gives you a little bit of wiggle room, but I still think this is relatively linear. I mean, you're just going straight up like a tower. So gameplay was fine. I think this is exactly what I expected out of an incremental game like this. And, I wasn't frustrated by any of it. I always find myself wanting a little bit more out of these games, but this one was cool in the overall aesthetic enough that I didn't really mind so much. There's always some more. I think a great example is Norp Apologue, that really is kind of the cream of the crop of a game like this that I think you could do. Now, this one, compared to Magic Archery, I do think improvements, but I think it definitely ups the ante a little bit. And, I think it does quite well. But, other than that, there's not a whole lot to talk about in the gameplay, because it's straightforward. You're making different spirits that will give you more resources, and you got to balance how you create those resources and how you create the things that create them, right? So it's my take on this gameplay. Not bad. It's just a straightforward incremental game.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think with games like this, like you said, it's very straightforward, kind of what you're doing. Really, my biggest critique is Wawa. there's an ad that popped up. Sorry, folks. But my biggest critique with this game, because I'm comparing it to the Norp Apologue, is I felt like in the Norp Apologue, everything you're doing is for a central purpose of hitting that rock in the middle of the world that you're in. I felt like in this game, I don't know, it almost felt like everything was pretty segmented. There are there's reasons obviously to do certain things to help upgrade other parts of your tower. But I kind of felt like, I don't know, there, like, I wasn't like working together really. Like, I felt like in the Norb epilogue, I'm like, okay, I'm building an army and I'm going to build like the most badass army with all these different cool upgrades, and everything is going to be attacking this rock so that all these things shoot out and I just get richer and richer, right? I kind of felt like in this game, everything was just kind of like its own little mini game, and then there were little overlaps that would happen just because you were dependent on another currency, right? Which is like normal in these kind of incremental games where, okay, you need to focus on, your forestry area because you need more wood in order to upgrade another area that's on your tower. But I almost felt like, you know, your main character is like this wizard, mm-hmm. right? Who's at the top. But I almost felt like he got a little lost in like what I was doing, because I just was like, all right, well, I'm just trying to like generate a bunch of wood and like try to like, breed these dragons or whatever. There's like a dragon area unlock, and they unlock like academies that help you get more XP. Like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like there wasn't enough like cohesion with everything, if that makes sense. And it's weird to say with a game like this, because it is very much like an idle game. Like, I would alt tab out, I'd work on some other stuff, come back, manage what I needed to manage. But I just, and maybe it's because I played the Norb epilogue, and I just have this mindset where I just was looking forward to like having everything work together. And I just love the Norb epilogue and how that works, where I was just looking for a little bit more of that in this game. I don't really know if I'm like explaining it right, but just kind of how I was feeling, everything just kind of felt segmented. I do think this is an improvement from Magic Archery, though. It has a lot more depth to it, that's for sure. And you know, it's got a little bit more variety as well, which is great. Now, I didn't beat the game. I kind of saved my run where I'm currently at. I'll continue it. I definitely want to try to beat it, but yeah, I don't know. It just kind of felt like things were maybe a little bit too disconnected, and maybe that's like more on the art side and the way things are like kind of structured in the game. Obviously, you're building up this tower here, but I don't know. I enjoyed the gameplay. It's straightforward. It's easy to understand. I felt differently playing the Norb epilogue versus a game like this, which is weird because they have so much in common. Mm-hmm. It's just that one thing of like, I felt like I was building an army in the other game, and in this game, I'm just kind of doing these separate things in these separate rooms, and then there's like some slight overlap because of the currency requirements. So that's just kind of how I felt about the gameplay. It's a $3 game too, so like, I wasn't really like beating myself up because of, you know, kind of how I was feeling. But I don't know. Am I making sense with that?
No, it makes total sense to me. I think that, I think how linear it feels can just like take away from what this game could be, right? And like, we know what we're getting into. Incremental games are kind of a dime a dozen in a way. And, you know, this is certainly on the better half of that, right? But as we've seen, you know, this developer make Magic Archery, and we've played a couple other of these games, we can see where things can be improved and where there can be innovation. And I think maybe that's what we're looking for. And I think you can, like, make it a little bit more of a customizable experience, like, if that makes sense. I think that is a possible thing. So, you know, I totally understand. Now, story-wise, there's not much story. this is a, like we said, incremental game. You are a wizard trying to build the best wizard tower ever. And that is it. Unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, that's about it. I do wish, like, you know, from the story standpoint, like, there was a point in the game where I was like, oh yeah, I am a wizard in this. Like, I know it's called, Tower Wizard. So obviously you're supposed to understand that you're a wizard, but it kind of gets lost a little bit, I feel like, in this, where I don't know. I just kind of wish it was a little bit more front and center, and maybe that could be done through like some story elements, or I don't know, just some more wizardry kind of in the world in terms of story, because you just kind of see your little wizard guy flying around towards the orb on the top. And that's about it. But yeah, not really a story here. Not looking for a story in a game like this, but it does have an easier to understand story than a game like the Nor Babilog, because you're just like, what is going on in the Nor Babilog? So at least there's kind of that inherited story of building up a tower as this wizard. And, you know, I mostly just kept thinking of like Saruman, when I was playing this, even though, you know, this is, I assume a friendly wizard, but,
You never know.
You never know, but yeah, no real story. But, what did you think, art wise with the game?
I think this is a really good looking game. You know, I like this monochromatic, you know, shades of kind of dark grays, blues, and pinks. It stays on theme. I like that. And it just is a pretty game to look at. And it's like the menus are really easy to read as well, and to kind of understand what the different symbols mean. I think that this is probably the strongest point of the game. You know, followed by the music, and we'll talk about that. But this is a really just cute looking game, not complex, really knows what it is, and kind of just makes it easy to play, right? The simpler the graphics with this kind of stuff, or and the art, it's the better, right? You know, once you get to the crazy stuff and like you like really start doing, you know, like Nor Babilog, where like a million things are happening, it just has to be able to handle it, and it can look cool that way. But when you're first starting out and like figuring out the game, it's probably pretty important to be like super simple, and I think that this has that kind of simplicity, and it's easy on the eyes as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I enjoyed the art style for the game. It's kind of got like, I don't know, it reminds me of like kind of this like old, like at least the backgrounds, like this Windows 98 kind of like, you kind of see like these dots of like how like the shading is in the background. I thought that was cool, like a little touch there. And yeah, it's just a very simple game art wise. Doesn't have a ton of detail to it, but I do appreciate that like each section of the tower kind of has a different feel, different personality, you know, different vibe to it. And UI is easy to understand, you know, which is definitely important in a game like this, because you have so many different things that you want to upgrade, and different currencies, things like that. So I thought it was pretty, you know, easy to understand overall. Yeah, the art style, you know, yeah, it works for me. Now, what's interesting to me is that it does say that this game is playable on the Steam Deck. So I'm really curious, like, how hard is it to actually control on the Steam Deck because of like how the art is and like the, you know, like the menu system and things like that. So I wasn't able to try it, but Raymorn Flanagan is another great. They're having a mattress sale the 4th of July. This episode is sponsored by Raymorn Flanagan. Now, yeah, I was a fan of the art. I always, with these kind of incremental games, I always feel like they're in always like a similar sort of art style. And I always just really enjoy it. Easy to understand, and has a, you know, a good amount of personality to it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, to kind of complement this kind of, I would almost say mellow art style, is some pretty mellow music to kind of go along with it. You know, you feel like you're pondering your orb a little bit. You're wizarding it up, I guess, sir. And, you know, it is pretty nice. If you want to throw some on for the listeners to listen to, unless there's somebody talking. Oh, yeah. Nice little mellow music, pretty relaxing. You know, you don't mind going idle, because then you can just listen to it while you're doing whatever. The little sound effects are nice, crisp, and clean of kind of stuff building up. No real complaints. I think I would have liked a little bit more variety in the music, especially since if you're going to be like idle for so long, because I felt like I looped a decent amount to different songs. But other than that, like what I heard, I really liked. What about you?
Yeah, no, I liked the music. I also was alt-tab, kind of just like working on some other stuff. And it was good, like kind of focusing music. I did also notice it looping as well. So yeah, it would be nice to have a little bit more variety with it. Also, I don't know. I was maybe looking for like a little bit more sound effects from like the different upgrades that I was having. Like when I unlocked like the dragon egg kind of area, I was like, oh, this is cool. And I felt like I didn't really get like a lot of sound effects that were kind of tied to it. So, you know, maybe that would have made it sound a little bit too busy if every little station kind of had different, meaningful sound effects. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think it fits with the vibe of the game. You know, didn't really have an issue with the music, and you know, it's an incremental game, so yeah. You kind of know there's going to be a lot of clicking sounds, things like that, as you're playing. So that was definitely par for the course there.
Yeah, and finally, performance-wise, it worked perfectly fine, as I expected. I'm assuming the same for you.
Yep, yeah, everything worked pretty well. I didn't get anything, like, too crazy going. I got some, like, some decent, you know, momentum going, but nothing, like, to a point where I was like, I wonder if my computer is going to be able to run this, but I'm sure it'll be fine. It seems pretty well optimized.
Cool, cool, cool. And finally, bringing us to our ratings, our S-tier games, Certified Fresh Juice. These are games like Balatro, Preserve, Norp Apologue, incremental game, A Steal. These are games like Ballionaire, Hellskate. No, wait, Ballionaire. No, Hellskate was on sale. Sorry. Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. Get on sale is something like Hellskate, Wizard with a Gun. Games that we think could be improved, but had good qualities, maybe get it on sale. Manager Special, games that we didn't really enjoy, but if it's on a deep discount or free to play, and you might really like the genre, check it out. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games that we don't think anybody should play. Matthew, what is your rating for Tower Wizard?
So I'm going to be giving Tower Wizard, it's going to be a low steal. Okay. And, you know, it's really just because, I mean, it's a $3 game and I got a good amount of enjoyment, a good amount of playtime out of it. I still do want to beat it. I still have like an urge to go in and complete a run. I did Prestige a few times, but really to try to build that tower out. But I'm going to give it a low steal. I think if you're into incremental games, it's a good one. I do hold this higher than like Magic Archery, which I don't even remember what I gave that one, probably like an on sale, I'm guessing. Yeah, so I do hold it a little bit higher than that, but there is definitely still room for improvement with this game. But yeah, I'm gonna give it a low steal. I think it's worth picking up if you're into incremental games. And again, it's only $3, so it's an easy recommend for me. But what about you, Tommy?
I'm gonna give it a high on sale. The reason being is I think these incremental games got to start doing a little bit more, and this one is like totally fine. I think it is a good time and there has a lot of positive qualities, but I think in the end of the day, if we're going to continue to see these games, I want to see a little bit more juice, right? And you know, squeeze it out of it
a little fresher.
a little bit fresher juice, if I may. But you know, that being said, this game is not bad. I think this game is totally fine. $3 is not that bad at all. You know, a get on sale is like, you know, maybe $2. But, you know, in terms of the quality of the game, I think it's a high on sale. I could be convinced to go to a steal. But I think, you know, I want to see a little bit more out of these games. And that's pretty much it.
There you go.
Holy moly. Another game reviewed. Can you believe it? Next week, we're doing a big, big one. Ruffy in the Riverside, which is a 3D platformer. Is this the return of the 3D platformer? Ruffy in the Riverside and DK Bonanza?
Oh man, we'll have to see. And Ruffy is, it's like a Paper Mario kind of inspired art style.
Yep.
And what was that other game? What was that game we played that was like Paper Mario? It was like a chef. Remember?
Oh, Born of Bread.
Yeah, born. Yeah, there you go. So it's been a while since we visited this art style. So I'm excited to hop into Ruffy.
I've already started playing on the Switch. On the Switch 2 by Nintendo.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Available now. I actually, you know what? Somebody started calling it. I was watching a TikTok. Somebody started calling the Switch 2 the NS2, and that just sounded so much cooler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, I just saw in like a press release for a game that we're looking into maybe playing. The Switch was referred to as the NS pretty often, and I had never seen that. So it's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, NS2. Yeah,
NS2. Listen, the DS, the NS.
Yeah.
What's next? we do have some listener questions, though. These come from the Fresh Juice Discord and my wife. The first one comes from Kmore, who's not my wife, but there's still time, Kmore. I'm just kidding. I knew you guys were pretzel boys, but I just had to confirm that's in reference to a question he asked last week. Anyways, any games on the summer sale worth getting, in your opinion? Coppola had the same question.
Yeah, another Crab's Treasure, I would say. Especially, you might already have another Crab's Treasure, Kmore, but that's a great one. Honestly, I would say any of like the classic kind of Steam games that maybe you've never played before. Like I was just talking with a buddy of mine. He's never played Half-Life. I've never played Half-Life either. But there is a fan-made like remake of the first Half-Life with like a bunch of quality of life updates that's on Steam called Black Mesa. It's $2. I'm tempted to actually pick it up. So I would say like any of those are, you know, kind of a must buy because they're just so cheap. We were talking earlier, like Hades is $8 on Steam. Pick it up. Pick up Balatro. If you don't have Balatro, I think it's $13 right now. I don't think it's on a big sale, but definitely worth checking out some Balatro. Disco Elysium is also $4. It's 90% off on Steam. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of games that if you don't have already, you should pick up. Unfortunately, I just have such a big backlog that like there's games where I'm like, oh, that's a good deal. Oh, I already have that in my library. I don't even remember buying that. So I'm at the point where I'm like, all right, let me look at these games that are like classic games I've never played. Like maybe if you never played Portal 1 or Portal 2, things like that, that are probably worth picking up just because they're like dirt cheap at this point. What about you, Tommy? Anything that jumps out that you would recommend?
Blasphemous is $2.50.
There you go.
Crypt of the Necrodancer is $1.50. Slay the Spire, $6.24. What else? I haven't played it yet, but everybody says Outer Wilds, $15.
Yeah.
What else? Risk of Rain 2, $8.24. Deep Rock Galactic, under $10. Terraria, $5. I mean, there's some great stuff here. Inscription is $8. Cuphead, $14. Holy moly.
Also, Little Nightmares 2, $3. And Little Nightmares 3 comes out later this year. So that's a cool platformer if you haven't checked it out yet. It's 90% off on Steam. Another cool one. There's a lot of those games in like the $1 to like $4 range, I feel like, that are a little older, but they're quality games. So I definitely recommend picking up some of those. It's tough, you know, as the years go on and you buy some Humble Bundles, you start realizing, oh man, like I can't take advantage of as many Steam deals as I want to. But yeah.
There's some good stuff though, folks. I mean, it's you know, the one thing that I love about Steam that that has been great for me is that they will look at what you play and say, here you go. Also, Hollow Knight's 50% off as well.
There you go. And, you know, one thing I always like to point out with the Steam sales, that's like when I first started PC gaming, I don't know how many of you guys out there like newish to PC gaming, but when I first started, I like, you know, I really splurged on my first few Steam sales because I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then you start to realize, even though, you know, of course, I think older Steam sales were a lot better than today's, but you realize there's always another Steam sale around the corner. So you're like, okay, what you have to decide is, if I buy this game now, am I going to play it in the next few months? And if the answer to that is no, I would say just wait until the next Steam sale, because chances are it's going to be on the same sale that it was in the summer. So that's my biggest recommendation, is that buy the games that you know you're going to play within the next few months. If you're not going to play it in the next few months, just wait until like the winter sale, the fall sale. And then, you know, do that same evaluation for every Steam sale. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with like a massive backlog of games you just haven't had time to play. So that would be my recommendation. And then the longer you wait, you know, theoretically, the cheaper the game should get.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a game like right now that's 50% off and maybe you were hoping it'd be more than that, just wait until the next Steam sale. See what that deal is. That's probably my best advice for someone that's, you know, bought a lot of games during Steam sales, is that, you know, there's games I still have that I have not played from a Steam sale like 2 years ago. So, you know, it's worth waiting for when you have the time to play it.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I just got a weird notification. Sorry. I'll tell you after. Capolo asked, if you can create a new piece of merch to display love to your favorite indie game, what piece of merch would it be?
Oh, man. I mean, Balatro comes to mind at first, because I know they came out with the deck of cards. Mm-hmm. I would love just a deck of like all the Jokers in the game, even though you can't really use it unless somehow they made it like usable, but that would just be cool to have, you know, all the Jokers, or at least 52 Jokers. Are there more than 52 Jokers in the game?
I don't know. There's a ton.
Yeah, I think there probably is, but even if, you know, that would be cool to have. I'm trying to think of like something else that might be cool. I when we played Cocoon, that was the first game we ever reviewed, I always thought it'd be really cool to have that Cocoon ball, like as a,
you know,
just like a glowing ball, like just have that would be kind of cool. What about you, Tommy? Anything come to mind?
Man, I don't know. I think this is tough, actually. Like something Dead Cells probably would be really neat. I think I have a Dead Cells hat somewhere, but like what kind, like, because a lot of these places have merch. Golly.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it would be something that, like, you know, doesn't have a lot of merch, you know, like Loop Hero. Right, like,
yeah, Loop Hero would be a great example.
Yeah, is there something you would want from Loop Hero that doesn't exist? I'm just throwing this out there.
I think like a really cool shirt of like the original kind of, like, I probably can't bring it up, but like the original kind of promo art of like the hero kind of like falling into like the nothingness. That would be really, really sweet.
I know one thing I really wanted, and I even brought it up in their Discord. This isn't really merch, but for 33 Immortals, when you walk up to like the gate and it kind of pans out and you just see all like the souls going in the gate, I would love to have that as like an animated looping background on my computer. I brought that up in their Discord. I was like, do you guys have this? And so many people were like, this would be amazing. And I don't think they actually have it. It's not merch, you know, it's just a wallpaper, but I would love something like, I would love that for 33 Immortals personally. That would be my wallpaper right now if it existed.
Yeah, that would be really sweet. Yeah, but good question. I think there's a ton of stuff, to be honest, that would be really neat, but it's so hard to say. That's a tough question because, like, in your head, you're like, oh, yeah, I could name 10 different things, but it's like, well, you know, half of this stuff exists. So, I don't know. And the last question we have is from R-Carp, who asks, what's your favorite song to blast at 4th of July?
Favorite song to blast at 4th of July. Do you have an idea about this one, Tom? I don't even know.
I think probably the full album of Rage Against the Machine, their self-titled album with the monk lighting himself on fire. But, you know, it's just something really like rebellious and angry. I don't know. Yeah. That's what I associate Independence Day with.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Highway to Hell, maybe. Ooh. I have no idea. You know, I always get amped up when I hear that one. I also think it's like I get the rebellious feel for 4th of July as well. You know, but I don't know. My favorite song is all the fireworks. That's what it is.
So true. Yeah. So true. Yeah. Good question, though, R-Carp. That was a banger.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
And that also means that we have to take a little ride down to the rec room. Chugga, 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 chugga. We are at the rec room. This is where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week, Matthew?
Yeah, so I am recommending my favorite band, Streetlight Manifesto. They have not come out with, they're like a ska punk band. They're more on the punky kind of ska side, but they're still ska. They're not like Real Big Fish or Less Than Jake or something like that. They're definitely more on the punky kind of side. But they have not come out with new music for like 12 years. And they were supposed to release a new album about a week ago. Unfortunately, it got delayed to the fall. There's not even a date with that. But in the meantime, they did release three songs that are technically unfinished. They're not final mixes. They've only released them on YouTube. I did share one of them in our Discord channel, in the music, channel of our Discord. And, there's three songs, Enormous, Imagine This, and Everything to Everyone, are the three songs. I'm really enjoying them. I downloaded them. I have them now on my phone, so I can play them through like Spotify or whatever. But you can definitely tell they're not like fully mixed yet. But I've been really enjoying them. And honestly, it's just been so long since I've had new music from them that I'm just happy to have new music. And I'm excited for their album to drop in the fall. They take forever to come out with new music for a variety of different reasons, issues with their label in the past, and also because their lead singer is kind of a perfectionist, so he actually took the blame for why there was a delay. But three new tracks. If you're into like ska punky music, they have a great sound, and this is also the last few songs that their trumpet player, who passed away recently, is in, so he's really great in it as well. But yeah, check it out, Streetlight Manifesto, if you're into that sort of stuff. It's very niche, I guess you could say. Not a lot of people listen to that kind of music anymore, but I like it, and it's they're good tracks. So I've been trying to listen to them as much as I can, but once they're officially on Spotify, I'll probably listen to them more. Otherwise, it's just a kind of a pain to listen to at the moment. But yeah. There you go. Three new tracks. Boom.
Love to hear it. When was their last album?
It was in 2012 or 13. Holy
moly.
Yeah. So it's been like 12 years, I think.
Oh my God.
And
I thought maybe like 2018.
No, yeah. They had issues with their previous label. Their label actually stopped them from releasing some music because they would typically release like an acoustic version of their album. And that acoustic version of their last album is still not released, so they encourage you to pirate it. So hopefully now that they're like more independent, you know, hopefully everything is smooth sailing from here on out. But they just, you know, they're a smaller band, really. You know, they're I don't even know if they have day jobs. They probably do, but they just take forever to make music. So I'm just happy to get something new at the end of the day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. I'm going to recommend a movie that I went to go see on Friday. 28 Years Later, which is the third film in the 28 Days Later franchise. We got the original in like 2002, I think. And then a few years later, we had 28 Weeks Later. And now we have 28 Years Later. It's starring Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think his full name is. The guy who played Kick-Ass. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff since. And Ralph Fiennes is in it as well. It is really good. I think that it approaches this zombie world in a much more realistic way, you know, with this kind of virus rather than just a straight, you know, kind of undead thing where, you know, it's one of the original... Like 28 Days Later is one of the original zombie movies where the zombies are like super fast and they're just like kind of like rabies where they're just like running after you. You're like, oh my God, this is so crazy. And this takes place well after it happened. And basically it's all been contained in the UK, the UK island, right? And that whole country is just quarantined. And the whole rest of the world's doing whatever they're doing, but the whole island is just quarantined for the time being, and you kind of like get a sneak peek into like what a community that has lived through it is doing, and then also what it's like to kind of be a kid that grew up in it, and then all of a sudden has to get thrown out into it, and it has horror, it has really touching moments. And then maybe the funniest ending to like a horror movie I've ever seen. It's just so out of left field. It's like, I mean, I want to spoil it, but I just can't because it's just, it happens and you're like, what is going on? And it like somehow like kind of gives you a cliffhanger for another movie. It was so wild. And I was just chuckling to myself the whole way home. I was like, that was good. That was good stuff. So 28 Years Later, they took a lot of creative chances and I think they paid off. I thought it was quite good. So check it out.
Nice. Yeah. Now if they did another movie, what would it be? 28 decades later?
Well, that's the thing. I think, I don't know what they would call it, but I think it would be a way different name.
Okay,
right?
Got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say at that point, right? It's 28 days and a year later or something like that. I don't know. But it's honestly like it introduces a bunch of characters at the end of the movie that go by a certain name. So it would probably be that name.
Okay, gotcha.
Check it out.
Cool.
I liked it. So
yeah, I've only ever seen the first one. I don't think I've seen Weeks Later, so I'll have to watch
Weeks
that
Later
one.
Is the weakest of the three.
Oh.
The weakest of the three. Still good, but the first one's great, right? Like,
yeah.
That's just like classic, wake up in a hospital, the world ended, yada, yada, yada. This one kind of really takes a deeper look at the psyche of everything, and then also it throws in the most wild wrench of all time. And then also a lot of penis in this one, which
I'm in.
Listen, if that's what you're into, listen, that this is the movie for you. So, but hey, that's been the show. I'm Tommy Fresh. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. You can find on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I'm going to be on a little hiatus of making content because I don't have my current setup right now, but hopefully by next week I'll be making some videos and streams again. So hope to see you over there. But Tommy, another good ep. Excited for next week. It's time for Ruffy.
Ruffy in the Riverside. Wait, we got to juice the fresh.